Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, I'll just say your name and your whatever, you know, if you have a title with the Tramedian.
My name is Rola. I'm known as Rola Z, and I am indeed a Tramedian and a comedy show producer.
Awesome. And we wanted to talk because you have a show coming up on November 9th at Bus Boys and Poets. Tell us what this is all about.
So, one of the things that I'm trying to do in this scene is create niche shows, niche comedy shows, where I perform along with other comedians, and we do a lot of dark comedy, a lot of traumedy or trauma comedy, where it's cerebral topics about issues that are kind of intense. So like attempted suicide, war, cancer, displacement, all this kind of stuff that make it funny. It's a tough, it's a tall order, but I think we're doing it well.
Great, great. And where do you typically perform at Bus Boys and Poets? Is that like your main spot, or is it, you know, give us a sense of where about town you usually typically play?
So I like to perform in different places in the city. I've recently took one of my shows to the Kennedy Center. Bus Boys and Poets is also a popular spot for us because it is like by definition, a place for healing. So it's not only Bus Boys and Poets. I've also taken my shows and performed at like a cute little deli in Columbia Heights, you know, underground, also a DC Comedy Loft, and just different places in the city.
And then I think Union Stage coming up in January. So yeah, all over town.
Yes, Union Stage coming up January 3rd, 13th, sorry.
No, that's cool. And you just did the Miracle Theater down on Barracks Row too, right? In October?
That's right. I performed at the Miracle Theater as well. And that was very much dark comedy because with everything that's going on in the Middle East, you know, I think as an Arab, it would be bizarre for me to perform and just talk about, you know, my dating life and whatever. So I always make sure that I talk about the cerebral topics or the important topics that are happening around the world as well.
Yeah, let's go a little more into that. And then, you know, then we can get into maybe some of the other suicide and cancer and all that, and, you know, later in the interview. But right now, since you mentioned it, let's go into some of the, you know, obviously there's war going on, you know, Israel, Gaza. It's heartbreaking, some of the stuff we're seeing. But talk about how you're using your show. I think you even call it, quote, funny Arabs is what you've been calling some of the recent shows. Yeah, just take a sort of the idea of how you think that, you know, you can hopefully provide healing at a time where, you know, our news channels just have so much, you know, it's heartbreaking stuff.
Yeah, one of the things I'm trying to do with Funny Arabs show in general, I mean, I started Funny Arabs show a year and a half ago, and it wasn't meant to be a traumedy show. I sort of started it as just a way to showcase, you know, the Arab American comedians and talk about our different narratives and so on and so forth. But I also started a traumedy show where we talk about trauma that includes non-Arab comedians as well. Regarding the show coming up November 9th, it is Arab American comedians, mainly Arab American comedians, but we also have Reese Waters on the show. Just talking about, I mean, making you know, important issues funny and like what's going on in the Middle East, but also just different things as well that are also important. And I think that traumedy or trauma comedy really has the power to heal all of us. I mean, including the comedians. I mean, you imagine people, like the audience is in pain. I mean, think about the pain that the comedians are in for us to actually also have to like process that pain and channel it in a way that's positive to provide healing for everybody.
For sure. And so, and give me a sense a little bit about, you know, your background. You said, you know, as a Arab comedian, you wanted to do funny Arabs, but where exactly did you grow up?
So I'm Lebanese, and I fled the war in Lebanon in 1982. I know it's a long time ago, and some of you guys weren't born then. but you know, so I fled the war 40 years ago, 41 years ago. And so that obviously has its, you know, its own trauma. And further to that, I mean, we all experienced trauma with COVID and all of this stuff. But on top of that, also, like, my marriage failed. I had a personal financial collapse a few years ago, which is why I got into comedy. If in the end, I think that if all else fails, you just go into comedy when there is nothing else you can do. Because if you can't laugh about it, then there's no hope.
Absolutely. And so just so I, you know, because I'm going to write an article to go along with this too, in addition to the radio pieces, but just so I have all, you know, it all buttoned up. Like, did you, right when you left Lebanon, did you come straight to DC or did you bounce around before landing here?
I always say I'm boat people. We fled the war in Lebanon many years ago to Greece via boat to Cyprus. So I grew up in Greece, then moved to Montreal, and then I've only been in DC for a few years. Okay. And comedy is really very, very recent for me. It's like I got into comedy because I found that there's so much in life that's beyond our control. So I figure if you can't change it, then laugh about it.
Right. So what brought you to DC then? Was it specifically to do comedy or did you come here, you know, for another day job or something? You're doing comedy on the side.
I came here with my husband, then our marriage failed. So I'm like, okay.
Gotcha.
I love DC. I mean, DC is my home. What I find really wonderful about DC is that there are people from everywhere just trying to create a home. And I'm so excited to be part of that community building and just creating a space for people to heal and to be together. And people are of all ethnic backgrounds. You know, I work with all comics and just different people to provide a space for healing.
Absolutely. And I don't know, you're probably more plugged into at least like the, you know, the underground comedy scene here in DC, or not underground, you know what I mean? The grassroots comedy scene here in DC. How strong is it for, you know, is there like a groundswell of, you know, Middle Eastern comedians in the area? Have you found sort of other people like yourself that it's sort of a tight knit community, or do you feel like you're sort of like a, I don't know, like a trailblazer, sort of forging it on your own?
Oh my God. Well, thank you for that question. I love to be called a trailblazer. Not that you called me that. But so I found that there are a handful of Middle Eastern comedians in DC and like literally five or six. And that includes non-Arab comedians as well. If you say like, you know, Middle East is also Iranian, Pakistani, and so on, it depends how far down you want to go. But I found that it's quite a small subset. And I am building it. So when I do a Funny Arabs, I also have comedians coming in from New York City, California, Texas, whatever it is. I'm excited to say that Funny Arabs has really done well. Every show sells out. And like I said, we took it to the Kennedy Center and that sold out in like 30 minutes. And it was a social impact program.
That was in September?
Yes, that's September 9th. And I'm so excited that we're able to bring it to non-Arabs as well. I mean, the whole point is, you know, we are in DC. This is the place where you influence policy, where you build bridges, where you talk to people, where you talk to decision makers who aren't necessarily the same background as you and try to change a mindset. So I was hoping that, you know, a show like Funny Arabs would do that. But clearly we have failed in changing mindsets, judging from what's going on in the Middle East right now.
Right. And the Funny Arab show, it was created in March. When did it was created? March 2022, yeah. Last 22. Year, right?
Exactly. Okay. So
where was the first show?
The first show we did was at Busboys and Poets. Right. Yeah.
And then you did it again at the Kennedy Center this past September, 2023. Yes. And then I'm sure a bunch of like how many Funny Arab shows do you think you've done? Like a handful, a dozen?
We've done 11. And okay. And they've all sold out.
Okay, great. And a few seconds ago, you said you said sadly you haven't done as good of a job as hopefully, you know, in changing mindsets and because of what's people's reaction to what's going on in the Middle East. Explain that a little more. Like, you know what troubles you with the reaction?
I mean, you know, honestly, I was half joking. I don't think that comedy is going to solve everyone's problems, but I do think that comedy and just talking to people from different cultures and maybe people that don't know. I mean, Funny Arabs is in English. It is accessible to everybody. And the Arab comedians that are on the show are from different nationalities, different backgrounds. Some are Muslim, some are Christian and so on. So we are not all just one kind of person. It's not monolithic. So what I've tried to do is just to tell our varying stories and so on. And just as a way to just build bridges and just showcase different talent and just show people more about our culture.
Yeah, I love the idea of building bridges. I mean, that's what we all should be trying to do, in my opinion. Do you know of any, I mean, you know, the local comedians in the comedy scene better than I do. Do you know of any, are there any folks in DC where it's like, you know, Israeli and Palestinian comedians coming together, you know, on the same bill? Or has that not happened yet? Or I don't know, anything on that front?
I mean, I personally haven't done anything like that. I have a lot of Jewish friends who come to my shows and support me. So that's been really wonderful. But I don't know. I haven't seen anything of that nature. There's more of that in New York City.
Gotcha. And are you, did you see, we just interviewed Maz Jobrani, who's coming to the Kennedy Center this Friday and Saturday, or I guess as this will, by the time this airs, he will have already come and gone. But are you planning on checking him out, or any thoughts on Maz?
Oh, I think Maz Jobrani is wonderful. And he was the first comedian that I watched live. I watched him in Dubai many years ago with Axis, he was performing with Axis of Evil. And I find him very inspirational. I am going to watch him tomorrow night at the Kennedy Center. And when I first got into comedy, he actually gave me some very encouraging words. And was so wonderful. So I'm so happy you brought him up.
So you saw him you're going to see him at the Kennedy Center just a few days before this next show at Busboys and Poets. So that'll be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe some of the Maz Jobrani, you know, the magic will rub off on you and you'll bring it to Busboys with you.
I hope so.
Awesome. Well, I'm trying to think what else. So, I mean, we've talked a lot about, you know, the Funny Arabs comedic tour. Let's go into some of the other issues that you mentioned earlier in the interview. Like, you know, so it's not just, you know,
mm-hmm.
world politics and stuff like that, which is obviously important. That's a big part of what you do. But talk about, you know, suicide and cancer. Like, how has your comedy helped? Do you ever have any people come up afterwards and they're like, oh, wow, you know, I had a family member going through this, or I lost this family member to suicide? You know what I mean? Like, how have you helped them?
So, Jason, such a wonderful question. So one of the things I love about the shows that I produce is that because the topics and the material can be so intense, it really elicits intense responses from people. So one thing I did, like during the pandemic, I had this rooftop comedy show, and this woman came up to me after the show, and we're all wearing masks and it's outdoors. And she said, I just spent $40 on an Uber ride to come here to see this show, and I haven't laughed in 2 years. I lost members of my family in the explosion in Beirut, and I haven't been able to laugh about the situation in Beirut. And thank you so much for what you did for us.
Wow. Well, it must be rewarding when you hear someone come up to you after that saying that you, specific example of how you helped them heal. Wow, that's powerful.
I do want to also answer your question, Jason. So one thing I started doing last year after Funny Arabs, I started producing Traumedy, and I produce and host. I host all my shows. I'm also a performer. So I produced Traumedy, DC's only dark comedy show, although there are some more coming up now. And what we did was I had some comedians who'd been through cancer, attempted suicide, loss, war, displacement, and so on. We did that at Public Options. I don't know if you know that. That's in Northeast. And one wonderful thing about that as well is that I had, like, after the show, I opened it up for questions and so on. And people from the audience were just opening up and saying, you know, this one guy said, oh, my wife cheated on me. And then I got mono, and I was like, what? You know, and we somehow managed to make that funny. And then he healed and he laughed and we all laughed and we all felt better. Then this one woman said that she lost both her parents during COVID. And then we kind of spun it and found some kind of humor and levity in that. So it's just such a wonderful community experience. Also, one lady came up to me, and she comes to all my shows, and she said, you know, my husband beat cancer during COVID, and your show, again, is like where we laughed about it, and we haven't been able to laugh about it before. So I'm realizing that laughter isn't only, like, you know, it's healing, laughter is the best medicine and so on, but it's actually necessary to moving on and processing pain, because there's so much you cannot change. But if you can find light and levity in a horrible situation, then I think you're winning.
Oh yeah. We've experienced cancer in my immediate family, and it's been heartbreaking, obviously, but you do sort of, I don't know, you do in order to get through it, you almost have to develop like a morbid sense of humor. It's almost like you have to laugh to prevent from crying. You know what I mean? And some of the stuff. So that's great. You do that for, provide that for people.
Jason, if I can just say, you absolutely nailed it. And to me, it's catharsis. We all need to let it all out and scream. And at the beginning of every one of my traumedy shows, I say, whoever you are, wherever you're from, I'm sure you've been through pain. Let's inhale and scream together. So that's how I start all my shows. We inhale and we scream, and then we kick off the show.
Nice. And I just want to be clear. So is traumedy, is that like an actual, is that like the actual title of certain shows? Like I know some you call Funny Arabs and you've done 11 of those. Is traumedy like another brand that you also do like, parallel with that? Or are you just saying the word traumedy as just like a noun? Like, is it an actual title?
It's a very good question. I've often wanted to patent it, but unfortunately, it still exists. It existed before I started using it, so I can't. I'm using it in both ways. So I would say Funny Arabs is a traumedy show,
Okay.
but
So
I also,
Tromedy is the overall banner, and then there's other one under stuff underneath it.
yeah, exactly. But I also want to make clear that I don't think it's only Arabs who have problems. I don't think it's only people who are in the East who have problems. Like there are people in the Western world who have problems, who have cancer, who have mental health problems. So I want to make that very clear. I'm very conscious of people's problems over here as well in the rich world.
Okay, so then if you did 11 Funny Arab shows under that title, how many like total traumedy shows do you think you've done?
I've probably done six in total.
So six that are outside of the Funny Arabs brand.
So sorry, I just want to clarify, Jason. So not every Funny Arabs show is a traumedy show.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, some of the comedians do traumedy and so on, but I
Okay.
also do so my traumedy show is like traumedy, a dark comedy show. Then I have comedians who've beat cancer, who've and so on and so forth, but also have Funny Arabs shows where some of them are traumedy shows, like the one coming up on November 9th is a traumedy show because
Okay.
we're also raising money for Médecins Sans Frontières and we're trying to heal the community.
All right, tell me a little bit more about that. What's the group you said you're raising money for?
Doctors Without Borders.
Oh, okay. And what will that money go towards, hopefully, in your mind?
Well, it will go to helping the civilians who've been hurt by what's happening in Gaza.
Okay. And this will be at Busboys and Poets on the 9th.
That's right.
Okay, cool. We've interviewed the head of Busboys and Poets. What was his name? A Andy. Andy
Andy
Shalal.
Salah. Yes.
Yes. How important of a partner has Andy been?
Andy Shalal is a DC superhero. He is a complete gem for all of us in the community. When I contacted him to do a Funny Arab show back in February of last year, he was so excited about it, and he's really like paved the way for me to take Funny Arabs to the next level. So he's actually an integral force in this whole initiative.
Awesome. Yes, absolutely. A fixture, a DC superhero. I like how you put that. Cool. And then a lot of this is just for when I have the article on to make sure I phrase things right and everything like that. So does your comedy like do you have a like a I don't know, like a company name? Is it Traumedy, a dark comedy show? Is that the brand or yeah, I don't know. Do you have like an overall name for it? Or just kind of freelancing and you just title each show individually?
My shows, when I produce the shows, and I produce all of these shows that I mentioned, it's under Rola Niche Shows, and I can email that to you. And I go by Rola Z as a comedian and host.
I'm trying to think, is there anything else like for this? I guess since we're going to run this as like a preview of the show on the 9th, anything like where should folks get tickets?
On my Instagram account, some Arab woman.
Some Arab woman is what
Yeah.
the handle is. Okay. And
Yeah.
then also, trying to think here 1 second. Let me pull up my calendar. I think the timing is right. Yes. Okay. So the 9th will also be the day before, Veterans Day. So talk about how I'm sure, with you dealing with suicide and trauma, I mean PTSD, then so talk about, that's another tie-in.
Well, it's interesting you should mention that because the only people who have more PTSD than veterans are the people who have been through war themselves. And I have many veteran jokes, Jason, so you got to come to my show. And one of the reasons I wanted to do it on you know, Veterans Day weekend was also to talk about how war affects all of us in completely different ways. And what I say to my veteran friends is like, you know, you have PTSD from the war. For us, we have trauma for life from the war.
Right, exactly. Great. Yeah, I'm trying to just work in as many, you know, tie-ins that we can here. So, yeah.
I did want to say two things. One of the things I want to make clear is that as comedians and as a community, you know, when we're on the show, the tone is we are thrivers, not victims. This isn't about us, you know, suffering. This is about us thriving and surviving and getting better.
Absolutely. And if there's a way, you know, because we have listeners, we're an all news radio station in DC. I don't know how much you know about WTOP, mm-hmm. but we're like an all news radio station and mm-hmm. trying to be, you know, objective and all. We've been covering, you know, objective news coverage of this war since it started, mm-hmm. like every day, it feels like.
Yeah.
Speak to, you know, so if folks are listening in their car, speak to them, invite them out, you know, sort of along the lines of, like, you know, no matter what quote unquote side you are, political party, views on the world, whatever, like this is a chance to come together and heal, like a big open arms to everybody, a bridge building invitation out.
Mark your calendars, November 9th, Busboys and Poets, 14th Street Northwest. The tickets are on my Instagram account. My Instagram account is some Arab woman. So come out and heal with us and laugh with us, no matter what side you're on. We all need a break from the horribleness that's happening in the Middle East. And we all have a special treat for you in a live concert at Busboys and Poets. So you can't go wrong. There are a few tickets left, so grab them.
Awesome. And I, of course, I have to follow up on that now. So how does it work? Like, how many comedians take the stage and then the concerts afterwards? Or how does that work?
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to have five comedians. I host all my shows. We've got five comedians in total. And then we have a concert for an hour. The details are all on Eventbrite.
Okay, great. And do you mind just so I can hear it, you know, so I have it for the radio too? Do you mind listing the five comedians?
So the comedians that are going to be on the show are Mahmoud Jabir, Reem Aidan, Reese Waters, Zaid Fuzi, and myself, Rola Z.
Awesome. So those are the five comedians. And then who is performing the concert? What's the name of the band or the artist?
So the band is called Sarni and the Band. They're a beautiful young band with this Lebanese singer, and her voice is mesmerizing. And again, she sings mainly in Arabic, but wherever you're from, you can really enjoy this music and enjoy this comedy and laugh with us, and we can all heal together. Because, you know, DC is our home, and we are all in this together.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking so much time with us today. We'll get the word out early next week, and good luck at the show.
Thank you so much.